are listening to a sermon from Christchurch, a multi-site church in southwest Louisiana. Christchurch is a distinctly biblical, ever-multiplying, economically and ethnically diverse covenantal community calling Acadiana to follow all of Christ in all of life. To hear more from Christchurch, you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit us on the web at wearechristchurch.com.
Well, good morning, Christchurch. Good to have an opportunity to share today. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. And for those of you who are just joining us for the first time today, we are currently in a preaching series through the book of Ephesians titled A New Society, Ephesians, A New Society. And we have made our way to chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, and we are excited about moving forward. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Please say amen when you have it. Amen. And the word of the Lord reads, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you particularly for this wonderful word about the gifts that the Lord has showered on us. And Father, I pray that as we continue to look into your word, that you would give us eyes to see the value of these precious gifts, the intent of these precious gifts, so that in all we do as a local church and as individuals in it, we would bring honor and glory to you in the use of these gifts. So we commit this time to you and pray that your spirit would open up our hearts and open up our minds and give us understanding and wisdom. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you can believe it, a number of years ago, I went through a phase in my life where I enjoyed wearing Western boots. I had this thing for cowboy boots, right? And it was a little phase in my life. I was living in Virginia and I was in the Navy, and all the guys that were in the Navy with me from Louisiana and from Texas were wearing cowboy boots, right? And so I'm from Louisiana and I wanted to represent my state, so figured, you know, I'll rock some cowboy boots for a little while, right? And, you know, believe it or not, I started to like them. So, you know, I was into cowboy boots for a little minute there. And during that time, I was having my little infatuation with cowboy boots. I went on this cruise with my mom and dad, my wife and I, and we ended up in this Western store. And there were these exotic skinned boots, right? Ostrich skin boots. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, everybody. I love that I'm back in Louisiana. Like, folks just know what I'm talking about. But there was this exotic ostrich skin boots. And, you know, I didn't know much about boots, but I knew they were expensive. And I knew they would give me a little bit of cred with my Louisiana group back in Virginia, right? So I was looking at them. I knew I couldn't afford them, but I was looking at them. And so my dad kind of caught me gazing at them. And he was like, "You want them?" I was like, "Nah, can't afford that." He said, "Nah, try on a pair." So I was like, "Nah, I don't, that's too expensive." He said, "No, go ahead on, try them on. I'll get them for you." It's like, okay, I'll go. But so he got me these boots. And now you need to know, my dad is not a rich man. He's not a wealthy man by any stretch. But he saw these boots and he thought he would gift them to me. He wanted to just bless me and give me these boots. Well, I get back to Virginia and, you know, I start wearing my cowboy boots. And, you know, it was all right for a minute. But then, you know, probably like in about 6 months, I was like, "I'm over it, man. I don't want to wear boots anymore. I'm not into it." I was on a ship, so I was always going. There was never really a fitting occasion to wear the boots. And so I was like, I'm not into boots anymore. But my dad had bought these boots for me. He'd given them to me as a gift, right? And so after checking with people about, you know, the appropriate etiquette about how to handle a gift that you can no longer use, I decided I got to give these boots to someone. Can't let these boots sit on my shelf, right? So there was a young man in my church. Every time I saw him, he had on cowboy boots, and he looked like he's about my height. So I was like, I wonder if he could use some boots. So I walked up to him one day. I was like, "Hey, man, you know, if I gave you a pair of boots, would you wear them?" He was like, "Yeah, what kind of boots are they?" I was like, "Man, you're going to like these boots, right?" And he was really, like, into boots. Like, he wore them, like, every day, every Sunday. So he was a boots man. So if I grabbed the boots, brought them to church, and, man, I opened up the box, and he was like, "Dude." He's like, "You going to give me these boots?" I was like, "Yeah, man, my dad bought me these boots, and they've been sitting on my shelf for, like, 2 or 3 years. I'm not using them. I want you to have them." He was like, "Man, thank you." And this dude, I mean, he would wear them boots all the time, right? And it was just such a blessing that he would use them. He was wearing them in ways that I just wouldn't wear them, right? And it blessed me. And, you know, as I was thinking about this message this week, I said, so it is with spiritual gifts, right? Our spiritual gifts have come to us at a great cost, right? They've come to us at a great cost. They've been secured for us. And we are supposed to use our gifts for the purpose for which God has secured them for us. And so today I want us to look into this text and just want us to see what Paul is trying to tell us about spiritual gifts. In our text this morning, he's going to tell us who the giver of spiritual gifts is. He's going to talk about the nature of spiritual gifts and then the purpose of our spiritual gifts. And I think there's one big overarching truth that Paul wants us to get this morning, and here's what it is. When our diversity of gifts serves our unity, it ultimately leads to maturity. When our diversity of gifts serves our unity, it ultimately leads to our maturity, both as a church and as individuals. In other words, what the Apostle Paul would say to us, Christ Church Northside, is that when we are using the gifts, the different gifts that the Lord has given to each one of us for our collective good, the good of our unity, the result will be that we will grow and that we will experience maturity. So that's the main point of the passage. And so what I want to do this morning real briefly is I just want to walk through the text and I want to point out 3 things that will help us get some understanding about what Paul is saying. And then I want to try to help us to apply it. I want to give you 3 implications of this text for Christ Church. Amen? So let's jump right in. First, verse 7. Notice the gift giver in verse 7. Paul writes, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Now, the first thing you ought to notice in verse 7 is the word "but." That word alerts us to a very important shift that Paul is about to make. Paul has been talking to us now about our unity. Remember, for the last couple of weeks, Pastor Brandon has been sharing what it looks like to live together in unity, what kind of character we need to put on in order for us to to commune with one another and to live together in a local church. He's been talking about unity. Now Paul is going to shift to talk about diversity, particularly our diversity of spiritual gifts. Now, right away, we see that Christ is the one who gives spiritual gifts to his people. We know that because the word Paul has in mind here when he uses the word grace is not the same word he uses for the idea of saving grace, right? The grace that leads to salvation. This is a different word. This is a word that means simply a gift that God gives to each Christian so that that Christian can use it to serve other Christians. And as with any gift, these gifts are absolutely free. There's nothing we can do to earn our spiritual gifts. We don't merit it any kind of way. It simply comes to us by the measure of Christ. He apportions these gifts the way he wants to. Now, notice also that the gifts are for each Christian, right? Paul just doesn't talk about giving gifts to a special group of people. Some teach that there are anointed people in the church, right? As if some people in the church are not anointed. We've all been anointed with at least one spiritual gift or several gifts in our lives. There's no such thing as a giftless Christian. Instead, when a believer comes to faith in Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit goes to work on your heart to make you alive in Jesus Christ, right? The Bible tells us that prior to conversion, we're dead. That is, we're dead to God, right? We can't understand the things of God. We have no sensitivity to God. But then the Spirit comes, he makes us alive, and he regenerates us is the language we use, and we come alive in Christ, and the Holy Spirit at that time gives us a spiritual gift. That's for each Christian. And how many people have been blessed by somebody else's spiritual gift? Yeah, we all have been blessed. And while our gifts have been given to us absolutely free, Paul here in verse 8 is reminded that these gifts have come to us at a great cost to Christ. We've attained these gifts through the victory that Jesus has won on the cross over sin and death. Here in verse 8, Paul quotes Psalm 68, verse 18. In this psalm, David is writing about the Lord's victory over the Egyptians during the Exodus. The picture here is of the Jews holding on to the train of Yahweh as he delivers the captives, delivers them out of Egypt, and leads them to the foot of Mount Sinai. And Paul is thinking about all this, and he's thinking about Jesus giving gifts, and he remembers, he says, this same God who led the captives out of Egypt, right, and came down to the Jews, my people, in a pillar of fire, this is the same God that came down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived perfectly, fulfilling all righteousness, who went to the cross to die as a substitute in our place, who was resurrected and ascended on high and is now giving gifts to his people. So all of this, Psalm 68 reminds Paul of Jesus, so he uses this. Again, in verse 10, he goes back to Psalm 68 when he writes, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, that's kind of confusing. Like, what is Paul talking about, ascending and descending? But he's simply looking at Psalm 68, and he's seeing a connection. He's seeing something that's similar in what Jesus has done. Paul is simply saying that just like God as king has delivered Egypt, and he's rescued Egypt, and Egypt leaves, and the Jews leave Egypt with a great bounty. Christ has done the same thing through his victory on the cross, through death and resurrection. Christ is leading us out of captivity of sin, and as a result of that, he's able to give us gifts for us. And that's just a wonderful thing. And that's, you know, when I was thinking about that this week, the thing that came to my mind was, if Jesus, through his suffering, through his humiliation on the cross, has secured these gifts for us, how dishonoring is it if we have gifts and we never even try to use them? How dishonoring is it if we have these gifts resident in us and we never even make an effort to find out what they are? I mean, that was the dilemma that I had with the boots. Is like, I wanted them at one time, they were wonderful, and then they were just sitting on my shelf. I felt bad about that my dad had worked and he wanted to bless me. I didn't want to leave those boots sitting on the shelf. In the same way, how dishonoring it is that each one of us, those of us who would say there was a time in my life where I was born again,
I was made alive in Christ. If you have a gift, then you're not using the gift for the purpose the Lord designed it for. Oh, that's a terrible thing. Well, having explained these things about the giver of the gift, Paul is compelled to tell us a little bit more about the nature of spiritual gifts. Look at verse 11. Listen to what Paul says. He says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, teachers. Do you see the nature of these gifts? They all come from Jesus, right? But they're very different. They're diverse. Not all are apostles. Not all are prophets. We've all been called to evangelize, but we all aren't evangelists. Not all are pastors and teachers. So while every Christian has been given a gift, our gifts are not the same. They're very different. Some are especially gifted to sing, like Sean and Lashana. How many people think that they're wonderfully blessed to sing, right? Now, I like singing, but that's, they are obviously blessed. They can do that, right? They sing and they put together songs and they show up here on Sunday and we're all blessed and encouraged in the Lord as we sing, right? That comes from the Lord. That's not simply like a natural talent. This is a gift that they have. Some people are blessed with the gift of hospitality, right? The Bible calls us all to be hospitable, and I try to be hospitable, open up my home, but my kids, my wife will tell you, I drive them crazy whenever I do that, right? In order for me to have people over and to entertain, I got to run everybody crazy before it happens, right? But there are people in this church who just have the gift of hospitality. They're able to open up their homes, make people feel comfortable, make everybody feel like they're included. I mean, how many people have ever been to Christian Lewis's house, right? It's just a wonderful thing. He has an ability to invite you over and make you feel at home. How many people have been to the Tootin's house, right? These people have a gift, right? They open up their homes and everybody that comes in, they feel encouraged. They feel included and gathered into the group. That's a spiritual gift, right? Some people have a gift of leadership. Other people don't have the gift of leadership, right? There are those in this church who have a gift of serving. We all called to serve in the Bible, right? But there are those who have this special ability to serve, right? You don't have to be around Tim Schultz for 2 minutes and he's serving. He's almost instinctively trying to find ways that he can serve you. The same thing with Rebecca Garner. She's probably out serving right now, right? I don't see her here, right? She's either serving her family or she's serving Christ Church. It's a gift, right? There are those who have a gift of faith. How many people ever talk to Art Twallow? Like, he has a gift of faith. My wife Sabrina has a gift of faith. If you're praying about something and you're wanting to have real faith to believe, go talk to my wife. Like, she just has the ability to trust God and believe God in ways that I don't. The Bible says we've all been given a measure of faith, right? But some people have something that goes beyond there, just this supernatural ability to trust the Lord and to take him at his word for things. That's a spiritual gift. And when that gift is deployed, it blesses everybody around them, right? You know, when I'm talking to Art Swallow, one of the things about Art, you talk to Art, right? And he'll basically just say, hey, just believe, right? And I'm looking at him like, okay, how do you do that, right? It's a gift he has, right? Brandon has a gift of vision, right? Brandon is able to trust the Lord. He's able to see what the Lord wants us to do as a church and take risk, right? At the time I'm talking to Brandon, he fires me up, but I'm thinking, that's crazy, man. That's probably not a good idea, man. But he has a gift, right, that gives him the ability to get along with the Lord and pray and seek the Lord and then to do stuff that usually people wouldn't do, right? Like all this stuff right here, he came up with this stuff, right? Because he has a gift that allows him to see the Lord and then to cast a vision. Those are all gifts, and our gifts are designed, our diversity is designed to strengthen us and not to weaken us, right? And so we ought not be envious or jealous. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves to one another. Like, one person has a gift, another has another gift. Your gift is intended for my good, right? And all our gifts collectively are intended for all of our good as a church, you know? I say to people oftentimes when people come here and I'm doing membership interviews, I ask them, the first question I ask is, do you feel like the Lord has led you into membership at Christ Church? And if they say yes, The next thing I say to them is, well, if the Lord has led you into membership at Christ Church, it is because you have a gift that we need, and we collectively as a congregation have gifts among us that you need in order to be a faithful Christian. That's what the Bible teaches. That is what Paul is getting at here. He's saying, we all have different gifts, but none of us have all of the gifts. None of us have all that we need in order to fulfill Christ's mission and to be the kind of Christian that God has called us to be. Now, we are often blessed and graciously served by other people's gifts. If you were, how many people had a chance to go to the church festival? How many people had a good time there? I had a great time, right? But that was a result of a bunch of people using their gifts, right? That was a result of people who had gifts of service, using their gifts to serve. It was a result of Rye has a gift of hospitality. And so I went to him. I said, man, we're doing a picnic. Help me to think about this. And he gave me counsel and advice about what to do with food and how to do it. I wouldn't have thought all of that stuff, what games and things like that, what to do with music and all that. Not my ideas, right? But people were using their gifts, and as a result of that, we were all edified, right? We were all strengthened and encouraged as a church. How many women were here today, this weekend for the women's conference, right? Bunch of hands went up, right? That too, I heard it was a great time, right? Wonderful time, right? Yeah, there you go. This woman obviously was encouraged and enriched by that, by that experience, right? Well, that was a result of, let me tell you how that started. One person heard about something, right? I don't want to embarrass her. She's a very modest woman. But one person heard about something, and she came and said, I heard about this great conference that we can, what is it called? Live stream, okay? I'm showing my age here. There's this great thing that we can live stream. Can we do that? And it's like, let me think. Absolutely, we can do that. And that woman and a couple of other women got together and started planning and dividing out responsibilities, and there was a conference. That's how that happened. Guess what? Guess how much the pastors had to do with that? Not anything at all. And it probably was better because we didn't have much to do with it, right? But that's what it looks like when people get together and they're using the gifts that the Lord has blessed each one of us with, right? Just a couple of months ago, I was trying to care for somebody's soul, right? That's what pastors do. I can't do much, but I believe the Lord has gifted me to care for people's soul, to encourage them, to ask questions and find out how they're applying the word of God to their lives and how they're seeing the world from God's perspective, right? I was trying to do that. And this sweet young lady walked up to me and she said, Pastor Kirk, there's a leaking toilet in the bathroom. And all of a sudden my mind went from that person's soul to a leaky toilet, and I began to panic, right? Because if there's one thing that I'm absolutely convinced about is that anything that requires any kind of manual dexterity, I'm not gifted to do that, right? I could try, but I'm not gifted to do that. So I'm thinking about this leaky toilet, and I'm thinking, what does she want me to do? Go look at it? Because that's about all I could do at this point is just stare at it like if, you know, yep, it's leaking, uh-huh. Yep, I agree with you, it's leaking, right? Yep, that's it, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about all I could have done immediately, right? And I'm thinking about this, and now it's on my brain. I got to get this thing fixed. I'm the campus pastor, so I'm responsible for all these things. And I thought, man, I got to call Brett Bates up, right? So a couple days later, I called Brett Bates up. I said, Brett, here's what's going on, man. Leaky toilet, looks like it's about 40 years old. We got to do something about it. I said, I want to change that out, but I don't want to call somebody up and have to pay $500 to do it. And Brett immediately said, hey, Pastor Kirk, I'm on a job right now. He said, but give me a couple hours and meet me at Home Depot. Go to Home Depot. Brett looks around. Get this, get that, get that. Come back here. How long did it take us? Not long at all. And we had a new toilet. Guess what? If Pastor Kirk was responsible for getting that toilet fixed, we'd probably still be working on it right now. But Brett is gifted. He has manual dexterity. He was cutting stuff, and when we pulled the toilet off, first of all, I was like, man, that's old, man. Whatever that is, that's been here for a long time. So he started cutting some stuff, right? I'm serious. That toilet was about 50 years old, huh? I don't even think they make them anymore. I was like, man, that's old right here. And I was about to be discouraged. I'm not lying, because we ran into a little problem, and this is how people are gifted, right? When people are gifted and they're working in their gift, they're calm, right? They're in their zone, right? And we ran into a little problem, and I was like, man, let's just, we can call somebody in, man. I didn't want to have to do that, but he's like, oh, no, I got it. I'll figure it out. And he cut some stuff and beat some stuff up, and before you know it, he had the toilet in there, right? And guess what? We were all blessed for it, right? We were all the better for it. We got a working toilet now. And that's the way the Lord intends it. He intends for all of us to use our gifts, our particular gift, to bless the whole congregation, right? That's what we ought to be doing. So in verse 11, Paul wants to highlight some of these, what we often call equipping gifts. He talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers. I'm not going to go into what each one of those are. But Paul's point here is that he mentions these because he wants us to know that these gifts we've been given are very different. They're very diverse. They all come from Jesus, but they're very diverse, and God expects us all to use them for the good of the church. And, you know, we look at this list, and there's a variety of lists in the New Testament. There's a list in Romans chapter 12. There's a list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when we think about spiritual gifts, right, you may have a gift that's not even listed in the Bible, right? You may have an endowment from God, a special ability from God that's not necessarily in the Bible, but it is indeed a spiritual gift because it's supernatural. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. In my last church, in my former church, there was a woman. She had a ministry. She just created her own ministry where she would send people gift cards. She had the gift of encouragement, and the way she expressed that in the church was, she got everybody's birthday and anniversaries and with her own money. I mean, this woman did this all the time. She would send, I've been in Louisiana 2 years. I'm still getting birthday cards and anniversary cards and whatever. And she writes you a little personal note. Just a wonderfully encouraging thing. Where's that in the Bible? Gift card gift, right? I mean, no, but it's the gift of encouragement. It's her own way of expressing the gift of encouragement. And so there's a variety of gifts. That's Paul's point in listing all these apostles, prophets, and whatnot. He wants us to see that Jesus has blessed the church with just a variety of gifts that are all supposed to be used for the building up of the church. And again, it's a wasteful thing if we have these wonderful gifts and we're not using them. Now, Christ tells us that we have these wonderful gifts. Then finally, he wants to tell us what they're for. Look at verse 12, right? He writes, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and stature and fullness of Christ. The purpose of our gifts is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, so that we can grow and mature into full manhood. Again, these gifts were given so that we all would be able to do the works of ministry, right? Not just the pastors, but that the entire church would be able to do the works of ministry. Now, notice in verse 12, the word saints, that's just a reminder that we're all included in that. We're all expected to be doing the work of ministry. Now, something's terribly misunderstood in the church these days. When I talk to people and I ask them about doing a particular thing, they kind of give me this look like, well, why aren't you doing that? why isn't Pastor Brandon doing that? I think there's a misunderstanding of the church. And I think somewhere long down the road, when pastors and leaders in the church started calling themselves ministers, then that kind of leads people astray in the wrong direction, right? They assume that because we're called ministers, well, you do the ministering, right? Well, that's not the case in Scripture. In Scripture, it's the whole church that's actually doing the ministry, right? Pastors are primarily called to equip people to do works of ministry, right? So again, this equipping and this building up is to continue until we reach full maturity, full manhood. And again, it goes back to this overarching truth that when all our gifts are working together to serve our unity, our diverse gifts working together to serve our unity, it also leads to our maturity. I think Paul would say to us today at Christ Church that if we don't use our gifts, right, each individual, not just a few of us, if we don't collectively use our gifts, then our church is not going to grow into the kind of church that we all want it to be, right? You know, oftentimes people come up and say, why don't we do this? And why don't we do that? And whatnot? Why is this lacking? And, well, it's because somebody has a gift that's not yet being used in that particular area, and God is calling them to perhaps start a ministry. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in just a moment. But we're all called to use these gifts. We cannot grow as a church. We cannot become who we need to become. We can't fulfill this vision right here if we don't all employ the gifts that the Lord has given us to do that. So here's what I'd like to do. I want to just give us three big implications for this text. I think this is the most important thing. If you get this, I think it's going to help us to grow as a church, right? So here's the first thing I see in this text that's specifically for us here at Christ Church, right? And here's what it is. Since every member of Christ Church Northside has been gifted by the Lord to do work of ministry, right, then each member and regular attender should be engaged in ongoing service in the life of Christ Church Northside, right? I'm going to say that again. Since every member of Christ Church Northside has been gifted by the Lord to do the work of ministry, then each member and regular attender should be engaged in ongoing service in the life of Christ Church Northside. Now, again, this terrible misconception that Christians are consumers in the local church, we come and Brandon preaches a sermon for us and some other people take care of some other things or the staff takes care of things. That's not New Testament Christianity, right? Some churches, because of their affluence, can afford to hire specialists to do a variety of things around the church, but that's not the model in the New Testament, is that churches go out and hire specialists, right? The model of the New Testament is that God, the ascended Christ, gives these gifts to the church that he expects to be employed and deployed for the upbuilding of the church, right? That's the model in the New Testament. So just this idea that there is a staff and that the staff is supposed to do all the ministering, that's not New Testament Christianity. That's not what we see when we look into the scriptures. And so that means that each one of us should make a priority to identify what our spiritual gifts are. How many people know what their spiritual gift is or have some idea? Some of us don't, right? Some don't, right? It should be a priority to find out exactly what gift the Lord has placed in you, right? With a view to using it, with a view to employing it for the good of those sitting all around you today, right? And if you don't know what your gift is, let me just tell you one quick way to find out. Find a need in the church and start serving, right? Doesn't matter what the need is. Find a need, start serving. Start serving in your community group. Find somebody that maybe is struggling, going through a tough spot in their lives. Start trying to fulfill a need. And then as you do, those around you, your friends, your pastors, are going to be able to help you to identify just where the Lord has blessed you and given you abilities. So that's the first place to start, is just fulfilling a need, right? There may be people here who have a gift of evangelism, people who have a heart for evangelism. We don't have particularly an evangelistic ministry here. But maybe you have a heart for that. Maybe you want to see us grow and our ability to reach the lost. You know what? Maybe the Lord is calling you to start a ministry. Maybe the Lord's put that gift in you, put that desire in you so that you can start a ministry where we get people trained and prepared to go out and share the gospel with others. Perhaps you're here and you have a heart for adoption or something like that. You know, that's not something that I have a heart for, but maybe the Lord's put it on your heart so that you can get something started. And I can tell you that if you come up to me or Pastor Brandon and you're willing to work with us and fill a need, right, and start something that we don't have here at Christ Church Northside, We're going to try to figure out ways to come alongside of you and support you in it, right? We don't have all of the ministries here at this church that we need to have. And the only thing that's standing in the way is that we need people to deploy their gifts. We need people to use their gifts for the building of the church. So again, you see a need around here, come and see us. Let us know and we can figure out, hey, maybe the Lord's calling you to do that. How can we help you? How can we support you in there? So again, since we all have gifts, we need to be in regular, ongoing ministry. I like to tell people, this is how you evaluate it, right? If the only thing you do in the life of the church is show up here on Sundays, then you're not using the gifts that the Lord wants you to use. If that's all you do is show up and listen to Pastor Brandon preach on Sunday, then you're not. You ought to be involved in a community group where you have an outlet to serve other people, to use your gifts to bless other people. Here's the second implication I see from this passage. Since Christ has given you a pastors to equip you for the work of ministry, it would be wise to make every effort to make yourself available for equipping. Okay? If Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, has given you pastors, and the job of the pastor is to equip you for work of ministry, then you would be wise to avail yourself, to make yourself available for equipping. There's a variety of things we do. We have Christian life classes. In the summer, we had Bible doctrine classes. Sunday morning service is just one thing, right? It's just one thing we do to try to equip the saints for the works of ministry. There's community group. We meet with people individually for counsel. It's a variety of ways that we are trying to get in front of you, to equip you, to strengthen you, to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ so that you'll grow spiritually and you'll mature spiritually and the entire church can grow spiritually. But guess what? We can't do that if you're not around, right? We can't equip you if you're not here. Can I cut straight through the chase and be honest with you? Like, it's shocking how infrequently people partake of the things that we pray to the Lord and set up and design and schedule for your good. It's for your good. You know, the pastors, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Joe, myself, I'm pretty sure that we can get into the Bible and we can read the scriptures and we can understand what the Lord is calling us to, right? But we're called to help other people do that, right? And so when we meet together, when we plan, all the things that we set up in the church are designed for your good. And so for me as a pastor, it's just heartbreaking when Pastor Brandon prepares for a Christian life class and I just see the same people every time. I want people to be blessed by that. And nothing is more fulfilling for me as a pastor to see people that are partaking of the Christian life classes, partaking of community group and participating in community group, and I'm seeing them grow. I'm watching them grow, right? There's people, I've only been here almost 2 years now, and there are people that I am watching grow right before my eyes. I can see them spiritually. They're growing. There's a little group of young people. You know, they might not even be aware of it, but I'm watching them. I'm listening to them. And I'm saying, they're growing. Their conversation is changing. Their outlook on the world is changing. And that's because those young people are availing themselves to the different means that we've created here to help us grow, right? Now, the truth is, none of this is going to make sense to you if you haven't committed yourself to living your life for the glory of Christ. If you haven't made a decision to give your life away for Christ, this doesn't make sense. You probably think, I show up on Sunday, isn't that enough? What more do you want, right? I'm not beating you up about it. That's the truth. If you're not showing up for those things, it's probably because you look at your life and you say, you know what? I don't need anything else. I'm good. I know who Jesus is. I'm good. I'm on my way to heaven, right? That's probably why that happens. But we all need to continue to grow. I'm going to show you in a moment. There's a danger to stagnation. There's a danger to not maturing and growing up in Christ. So that's my appeal to you. Like, do whatever you need to do to move your schedule around, right? Shuffle some things around in your schedule and make it to community group. There are people there that have gifts of encouragement and different gifts that are gonna bless you and bless your family. Make it a priority. Come a little earlier on Sunday mornings, right? If you just make one decision and you say, Sunday mornings are reserved for God. From the moment I wake up to noon, they're reserved for the Lord, right? And you do everything you need to do Saturday in order to prepare for Sunday morning, I promise you, you can make it to Christian life class, right? You just got to make it non-negotiable. You just got to say, Sunday mornings belong to the Lord, and I'm going to get to church. Now, I've heard all of the reasons why. We got kids, our schedule, it just don't work out by the time we get there. I got a lot of kids, right? I'm almost sure I got more kids than you do, okay? But I have to plan to make that happen, right? To get them here, right? We have to plan. And so that's my plea to you. As a campus pastor here, do whatever you can to get in those classes so that you can grow, so that you'll continue to grow. Well, my third implication in this passage for us, and we've kind of covered some of it, but since Christ gives his church pastors for equipping the saints and building up the body of Christ, then refusing to avail yourself to their work will have negative impacts, negative consequences in your personal maturity and in the maturity of the church. Look at verse 14. It's really a scary verse. Verse 14 gives the negative impacts of what will happen if we don't avail ourselves to the things that lead to maturity. Look at what it says. It says we'll remain children, right? Right? What's one of the biggest characteristics of a child? A child is vulnerable, right? Children are vulnerable. There's a danger to not maturing. There's a danger to not growing up in Christ. When we don't grow up in Christ, verse 14 says that we'll be tossed around in life by the waves and beaten about against our body, right? We'll eventually be carried away with every kind of teaching, right? We'll be deceived by other people's schemes and their craftiness. Be deceived by the devil, right? If you see your life falling apart, and I see this in people's life, they wonder, like, why is this happening to my marriage? Why is this happening to me personally? I have this struggle that I don't seem to be able to get over. I think you need to ask yourself, like, am I availing myself to all the means that God has given me to grow as a Christian, right? And I promise you, if you start availing yourself to those means and you spend time praying, you spend time in the Lord's word, your life's going to change, right? But if you don't think you need to grow and your life's kind of taking on some waves in different places, this is the reason. This is the reason, because you're experiencing stagnation and you need to grow. You need to do whatever and take whatever steps that are necessary for you to grow. I want to close here, but I just want to encourage us as a church, right? This is from the heart. As I look throughout the church, as I'm getting to know everybody here, we are wonderfully blessed. We really are. We have a variety of gifts. There are creative people here. There are people who are, every time I talk to them, I'm encouraged, right? They just have a gift of encouragement. But if we're not around, if all we're doing is gathering on Sunday morning, we're not going to be the church we need to be, right? I've never seen anybody grow in Christ who just shows up on Sunday morning. Never seen it. So let's avail ourselves to these wonderful gifts the Lord has. If you don't know what your gift, come see me, see Pastor Brandon. We'll be glad to pray with you. Make some suggestions about where you can serve in the church so that you can begin a process of discovering just how the Lord may have blessed you to serve the rest of the church. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Christ Church. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit our website at wearechristchurch.com.